to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. How are you? You're at the spot, the location, where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We're going across the pond to the UK today with Helen Cummings. We're going to talk about babies. She is a bona fide Your Baby Health Sleep Consultant. She's the baby whisperer. How many parents struggle with understanding what the child needs? You know, there's distinct cries for what the child needs that would tell you if they're in distress, if they're hungry, if they're wet, if they're not feeling well. There's babies that have colic that cry nonstop. There's mothers with postpartum who can't stand it because they don't know what's going on. And there's daddies that are there that are wonderful, but they can't breastfeed. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. She is a very, very fortunate woman. She's been able to work with some very affluent people. So she knows exactly what she's qualified to do. And the word is that she is the person to contact. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Helen?
Hello. Hi, April. Thank you for having me. I'm very well. Thank you.
Good. Well, this is great, you know, because so many parents, the first time you're a parent, I tell my story. I had had my daughter and cleaned her all up. She was looking all pretty and had her little bows on, smelling good, playing with her toys. And then all of a sudden, I started to lactate. Then she threw her bottle. Then she threw up. Then all chaos broke out. And that was just one instance. But then in the middle of the night, getting up, I wasn't used to that. So it's a whole shift. And it's new for her too, because it's when the kid whimpers or they cry, they expect immediate response, you know?
Exactly.
And as a parent, you want to give it, but sometimes you don't have it to give. Tell us how you found yourself in this space as a baby sleep expert.
So I have four children of my own.
Oh,
and
four.
I became a mum at the age of 21 at a time where there was no internet. None of my friends had babies. So I just relied on one book to help me through. And I was very lucky that I intuitively seemed to know how to settle my daughter. But it was still difficult. She had colic. She also had reflux. And she was also premature. She was 6 weeks early. So it was quite scary. But I then went on to have another three children. And I realised that that was really my passion and calling in life, was to support new parents and help them when they had their babies. So that's really how I ended up starting to do my training. Once my children left home and grew up, then I then started to do my training and started to support new parents and help them with their babies.
Are you considered, because I was talked to you in the green room before and you said that you had did overnight duty, are you also, in addition to what you do, considered like a nanny as well?
No. So when I work overnight, it is as a baby sleep expert. It is going in to support the parents during the night, but all the time you're giving them guidance. And so if the mum's breastfeeding, I take the baby to the mum when the baby needs fed, but then I will settle the baby and do everything, look after the baby until the next feed, so the mum can go straight back to sleep. Mm-hmm. If they're not breastfeeding, then I will have the baby for the full time that I've got them overnight. But the next day when I leave a very sort of detailed sort of plan or some advice on how they're going to get through that day. They can contact me by WhatsApp if they're having a wobble or things are. So basically, you're there to support the mum and the baby.
Okay, so you say overnight, if you are not breastfeeding and you're bottle feeding, you support the baby the whole time. So when the baby wakes up and they cry, if they need to be burped, if they need to be changed, if they're sick, whatever, you are their dedicated support while the parent gets to sleep.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
How do you wean the parent after all of that? I also remember when I had my daughter, and I don't feel, shame about the fact that I did not breastfeed. She didn't latch on. I was like, okay, feed her. But as soon as she was born, a few hours later, they says, "Oh, it's time to feed your baby." And I was in the hospital, and I was like, "You guys don't do that." So how
Well,
do you raise a parent?
I don't, when you're helping people overnight, you're not going in every night. So they might have you one or two nights a week. So they are doing the majority of the nights. But by the time I leave, the babies are sleeping well. So, that's the magic, is that, everything that we do, then by the time I leave, the babies are sleeping well and the parents are confident. And they've got a clear sort of schedule or whatever it is for their baby, but bespoke to their baby, because babies are not robots. So every baby that I work with, I will speak to the parents and we will create a bespoke plan for their baby, because babies are different weights, different, some babies are early. If you've got twins and triplets, they're often low
Oh,
birth
goodness
weight.
gracious. I
So.
forgot you deal with the doubles and the triples too. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
And then they
So
are still very different individuals. They're not, their sleep pattern is not going to be, consistent, or they're eating, or
no, exactly. I mean, twins, you can have one twin that's quite a bit heavier than the other, and so you have to work out a way that's going to be manageable for the parents to, because they need to get some rest in between feeding. So that's really what I go in and do, is make sure that the babies are well fed and getting fed regularly, but also that the mum and the dad are getting some rest.
a couple tips for a colicky baby.
A colicky baby. So yeah, there's actually winding a baby well is the secret. It's not going to stop them having colic. And there's also a bit of a myth if you're breastfeeding. I don't know, in the UK, there's this myth that you don't need to wind a breastfed baby, but that's not true. Breastfed babies do need winded as much as a formula fed baby. So it's about winding them regularly. There's also some herbal remedies that you can give the baby, but you're better to go to a herbalist and speak to them about it. So there's things you can do for colic. Reflux is a big thing over here. I don't know in America if reflux is talked about.
Well, when you say you're saying wind the baby, that means burp the baby.
Yeah. So I have a baby here.
All right. What's your baby's name?
Oh, I don't know what I'll call her tonight. I think we'll call her Mandy.
Okay. All right. Baby Mandy.
Baby Mandy. So I'm just going to quickly, if we're talking about winding, I'm going to quickly show you. Obviously, she's a doll, so it's not a real baby. I'll just move this a little bit. So basically, one of the key things is the way you hold your baby. So I'm holding like this, and I'm keeping the baby's back really straight, and I'm making sure, because often they squirm because the wind's coming up and people stop, but I just rub the back and keep, the main thing is keep them as if they're sitting in a chair. And keep their chin up. So that's one of the big tips. Sometimes up on the shoulder isn't that great for bringing up the wind if it's stuck. So you're actually better doing it like that. You can do it on your knee. I'm holding the baby up higher at the moment,
Okay,
but
now,
that's
and
definitely.
again, the wind can escape from either way, either through the mouth or
Yes.
through the bottom, right? Let me ask another question. I know when I had my daughter, we would lay her across our lap. What's your feelings about that? And rub the back.
So sometimes if the wind isn't coming up, you can lie your baby flat and just lie them for about 10 to 20 seconds, and then just sit them back up again and do the same thing. And then sometimes the wind will come back up. So it is, or you can cycle their legs. You can lift their legs up and just, I can't do it with the doll, but
I get you.
you can just very gently cycle their legs. So those are some tips for colic.
Also, at when they are colicky, I've heard that sometimes if they're breast, if not breastfeeding, if they're bottle fed, maybe they are not giving them enough time to be winded in between, they're in the bottle, and maybe every ounce, every 2 ounces, they should break that to try to wind them instead of having so much food on their stomach. and that causes them to regurgitate. Would you agree, or what's your
Yeah,
suggestion?
no, I agree, especially when they're newborn, because they can only perhaps take about 30 mil and then you need to wean them and then wean them again. But it's actually the same with breastfeeding, because it's, if you're breastfeeding, they're getting fluid, and if they're bottle feeding, they're getting fluid. So it's exactly the same with breastfeeding and with bottle feeding. They need weaned regularly. For example, a newborn baby, I would imagine, would probably need weaned at the beginning, at the middle, after the first 30 mil, and then after the next 30 mil, and then at the end of the feed, on average, depending how big the baby is.
Okay, all right. That makes perfect sense. What if you have a child that is like they're just restless. They just, and I don't know how to say this, are they on our schedule or are we on their schedule? How do you create a workable schedule, a doable schedule?
Okay, so we'll talk about newborn babies when they're first born. For the first 2 to 3 weeks, they basically feed, sleep, are awake for a very short time. So that is the period. I often think that it's nature's way of letting the mum recover a little bit. And usually about week three, they wake up to the world and they're a bit more alert. So at that point, you can have some awake time, while they're feeding, and a little bit of interaction with them, just talking to them, a little bit of music, just during the day, it's letting them know from the morning feed that this is morning. So it's things like opening up the curtains, letting the light in, and getting them awake at a regular time every day. That really helps, them get into the rhythm of life, of day and nighttime. And you can do that from very young. You can do that from very young. That
Okay.
definitely helps.
And it's best to start. When you have twins, for example, how do you navigate that?
So the mums, I've worked with mums that are breastfed twins, so they tend to breastfeed them at the same time. They have like
I'm sorry.
a
I'm
breastfeed.
sorry. I just can't imagine two little people there at the same time. And it's a lot on a mother too, to breastfeed. Don't just think that
Oh,
it's super easy.
absolutely.
It's they swell, they gorge, they leak. Sometimes they don't produce enough milk.
I think, to be honest, there's obviously advantages to breastfeeding, but the most important thing is that you have a happy mum, which makes a happy baby. So whatever way the mum decides to feed, whether it's breastfeeding, whether it's formula feeding, whether it's combination feeding that she's decided to express her milk. I've actually worked for a mum who expressed milk for 4 months but never breastfed. That was her choice, and she had twins. So at the end of the day, it's what works for you. I think it's really important for new parents' mental health that they feel happy with what they're doing, because that transfers on to the baby. If they feel happy, they'll have good energy, positive energy, and their baby will pick up on that. So, I think it's important to have a very open, non-judgmental mind about all
I'm
things to
glad
do
that
with
you said
babies.
that because a lot of times mothers are shamed and felt, guilty because they didn't do it. Some women do not appreciate being in public nursing their babies. There's a certain embarrassment or shame about that. There's some women that just, this is natural and this is what it is. So it's all different levels, Brains. You have to find your comfort.
Exactly. Yeah, and not feel under pressure, whatever way, whether you want to breastfeed for 2 years or whatever your choice is, or whether you decide you don't want to breastfeed, it is totally up to the parent. And I think that's really, really important, because I have seen parents' mental health be affected.
Yes.
Some parents feeling under pressure to do a certain thing, maybe it's by their husband or mother-in-law, or and they're quite miserable. And I just say, happy mum makes a happy baby. So,
Absolutely. Because it is a bonding process. It's a
absolutely.
love between a mother and a child. She's carried this baby for 9 months. We don't know if the baby came early, if there was trauma, if it was multiple births, if it was a C-section. We don't know if the mother is experiencing postpartum. Now, I know
Exactly.
that's not your zone of genius, but how do you support and work with mothers that are going through postpartum but still have these, these newborns?
So I actually have a diploma in postnatal depression as a carer, and I have worked with a lot of parents with postnatal depression. So the most important thing with postnatal depression is listening to the parent. And sometimes I found they don't know that they've got postnatal depression because they've just had a baby, especially if it's their first baby, and it takes them time to open up and actually say, this is how I'm feeling. So when I'm in that position in a house with a mum, I just will have to wait. I sometimes know that they're depressed, but it's not the sort of thing that you tell somebody. You can't say to somebody you are depressed because they've got to be in the right space to be able to talk about it. So I just offer them support. I make suggestions. For example, is there something you did before your baby came along that you would like to do? For it, go swimming, go out for an hour on your own, just get some time, some space. It's hard because not everybody's got family around or can pay for somebody like me to support them. But there is groups and places you can go to get support. So I just really help them to find ways to manage. And also, if I'm around and their baby is calm and is sleeping well, then that obviously is going to help their mental health because they know their baby's calm, they know their baby's going to sleep, and that is actually takes a huge amount of pressure off them.
I know this is a tough question, but are you a also, we call them qualified reporters or mandates. Sometimes in some situations, the children is in harm and danger because it's so severe. Are you required to,
That has
intervene?
never, yeah, that has never happened to me in my role. Fortunately,
If
that's
the,
never
hopefully never
happened.
does.
Exactly.
We've had some
Yeah.
terrible, terrible incidences where mothers did not get the help that they need. They didn't know that it was as severe as it was. By no means they meant to harm their child, but mental illness did creep up in there. How do you incorporate the fathers in all of this?
The fathers, it varies from father to father. It's a bit like mother to mother, different mothers, different fathers. But if the fathers are wanting to be involved, then they are involved as much as they want to be. They're always very glad to see me when I turn up, as is the mum, and give me their baby and get some rest. But I've worked for two dads. I've worked for two mums. It's not always a mum and dad situation that I go into. I've worked for a single mum who used a sperm donor. So it's a very varied mixture of parents. Basically, it's just parents,
Right. But what I mean is that it's different for a male to do the feeding process or get up and do the changing and the washing and the wending and all those type of things. It's a certain education, I assume. Giving birth and being a mother is just innately all females, whether it's in the animal kingdom or human, we kind of mechanically know what to do and how to engage. That has to be sometimes a learned behavior with males or fathers. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yes, totally. And I actually do a workshop, which I often do when people are pregnant. And that really helps the dads because I do things like nappy changing, how to, use a doll, show them how to, dress the doll, and also what to expect when their baby's born. So the meconium, when they change their first nappy, looks like treacle. And so explaining to them and giving them the confidence, often in pregnancy, so the minute their baby's born, they've got that knowledge. I also show them how to use their body. I'll just put an example.
Absolutely.
So
Let's see, Miss Candy.
being very good tonight. So a lot of fathers, have never held a baby, and they're often anxious in the delivery room when the baby's born, because they're sometimes given the baby if the mum's getting something done to her or, medically. So I tell them about the skin to skin, but I also show them how to confidently, you can see this, hold their baby and how to move their baby really, really gently in their arms without actually, sort of doing this sort of thing, sort of keeping the baby close, and then always protecting the baby's head, and then just gently using their body, a bit like a mat. They can just move their body, the baby around their body, and that gives them a lot of confidence. So the minute their baby's born, they remember, that I've showed them that. If I go into the house when the baby's already born, then I show them lots of tips and things they can do with their baby. So that really helps if I'm there. There's not as much support as there should be for new parents. Years ago, in the UK, you would be kept in hospital longer.
Oh,
You would
yeah.
be taught, you'd be taught in hospital how to bath your baby. So I teach the parents how to bath the babies confidently and just give them confidence, really. So that's for the mum and the dad. It's for both of them.
Why is swaddling so important?
Ah, okay. Swaddling is really, I don't think I can show you. Well, this is, I use this big muslin to
Okay.
swaddle. So obviously I should really be doing it on a table.
It's
But
okay.
the reason that is so good for newborns is that when they're born, they have a startle reflex, which means that they jump because they get a fright. And this is just like giving them a hug. But the most important thing is that you swaddle round the top, but you leave all of this fabric loose at the bottom because you don't want the baby's hips to be restricted. So the days are gone where babies used to be swaddled really tightly. That doesn't happen anymore. That's not safe swaddling. But swaddling is just like giving your baby a hug, and it makes them feel secure when they get this sort of startle reflex. So it's definitely something that I recommend,
Well,
as
that's
long
good
as
to
it's
know
done
because
properly.
sometimes I've seen babies wrapped up like little mummies, and I'm like, you gotta
Yeah,
be
that's
careful with that. They have to be able to move a little bit in there. I wouldn't think that they should be so tight.
no, this is very and you do it with a muslin, so it's breathable. And these muslins that I use are 120 centimeters by 120 centimeters. I buy them from Amazon. So they're really useful. If you're in a hot country, you would, so at the moment, this one's double layered, but you would just do it single layered if you were
Okay.
in, and you would only have your baby perhaps in a vest, because
Right.
you've got to, you don't want them to overheat. So it depends where you're living, what your climate is. But it really does help them settle.
Parents have also struggled with infant mortality, with them being in the bed, cradle deaths and things of that nature. Can you give us some suggestions on, should the baby be on their side? Should they be on their stomach? How often should we check? What are some of the symptoms or some of the signs? Have you ever run across that?
It's not happened in my job, but I do know people that have lost babies. So, the main thing is that you don't put your baby on its side or on its tummy, that your baby is on its back at all times. So you're not going to be putting your baby down to sleep at all on its side, unless it's for medical reasons and that's been authorized by a doctor. There
So
is
you don't put the baby on the stomach? I would think that if they would regurgitate,
no,
spit
no,
up the food, it would come out. No, really.
no. So when I had my daughter 40 years ago, that is what people were doing at that point. But there's a lot of evidence now for, with cot death, that there's been a huge reduction in cot death since babies have been put, and they call it back to sleep. So they're always on their back, and their feet are near the bottom of the crib so that they don't slide under the covers. And basically, your cot is not full of toys, soft toys that can fall on the baby. So it is really important to have them on their back.
Okay, and to have them on the back. So that's good to know because that's a change. I was always taught, put it on the baby on the stomach. If they were to just spit up or whatever, it would come out this way. And if they were on their back, it would go back down and they could,
Yeah,
swallow it
no,
and vomit.
there's a huge amount of evidence. In the UK, there's the Lullaby Society, Lullaby Trust, that you can look up. They have lots of information on safe sleep. So if anybody wants to check that out, if you, but it really is very, very important that they're put on their back.
Give us some suggestions on the type of things that we should put in the crib. Sometimes, you want to just love the baby with the little panda bear and the mobile around here. You got the pacifier. I mean, you've got everything in the crib. That's not maybe the best. What do you think?
No, so this sounds very boring, but we don't want anything in the crib apart from the baby, and possibly, depending on where your baby is and what climate, you then put appropriate blankets on. As they get a bit older, maybe about 3 months, they might have a little sleeping bag that they sleep in. And no blankets. So it's absolutely nothing, no teddies, no comforters, because babies, if they put them on top of their, if they have a velvet teddy or if it falls over their face, they could suffocate. So really, really important to keep the cots clear, of
And
nothing,
also the mobiles up above, what if it falls,
The mobiles could fall.
They want to entertain the baby, but maybe at the foot of the bed and they can, watch it from afar or something. But I never thought that that was really smart to have that hanging right over the baby as they slept.
No, and you can use maybe above the changing unit when you're changing their nappy if it's fixed safely, because to distract the baby, but not above the cot. And the other thing that I don't recommend is using music when you're trying to get your baby to sleep, because it's very distracting for the baby. So I recommend using white noise, which is much calmer, or when they're very newborn, you can use like a heartbeat noise. So familiar to what they were hearing in the womb, but that's much better than actually stimulating them with music. You can use that other times, playtime, even if they're in the bath. I sometimes have nice music in the background, in the bathroom, but not actually in the bedroom. Everything in the bedroom is very calm and there's no distractions. You want them to go to sleep. That's what you
Right.
want to do.
Yeah, that's what I do. I was at a girlfriend's house and they cannot sleep without the TV being on. I don't sleep with the TV on. I want quiet. I want to decompress. I want my mind to just kind of drift off. And they get used to that. Once they get
Exactly.
used to that, it's perfect. But once they start getting acclimated, they're going to require the music and all that. That can again be another distraction.
Exactly.
If your child is not staying on or waking up to the normal feeding schedule, do you recommend that the parents during the night or during the day create a feeding schedule for the child or let them tell you when they're hungry?
I think it depends on the weight of the baby. If the baby's born and is quite low birth weight, then you will need to wake the baby up to feed the baby so that the baby puts on weight. Because, if you've got a low birth weight baby and they've lost, often they lose 10% of their weight when they're born, you do need to wake that baby up and make sure that it's fed. In the beginning, usually I recommend feeding between 2 to 3 hours, at least until your baby's regained its birth weight. And then after that, depending on the weight of the baby, usually I will have them on 3 hours schedule during the day, and then they might start going 4 hours at night. Again, all depending on the age of the baby and the weight of the baby. And you have to work it out because it's not one size fits all. They're all different. Every baby's unique. So it's more like guidelines. But
Right.
yeah, I definitely wake babies up for sure during the day. I wouldn't just let them sleep because you want them to sleep at night. You don't want them to be sleeping too long during the day. You want them to be sort of their tummies, fill them up, fill them up, fill them up. And then at night time, you might get a 4 hour stint, depending on, and then I'm talking about newborns, but it depends on the baby.
You and I know that again, this depends on the baby as well. How long do you normally stay with the family?
That can vary. On average, I would say it's 8 weeks if you're going in at birth, but some people don't actually ask me to go in until their baby's 6 weeks old and they've tried to do it all themselves and maybe something's happened and they're struggling. So it just depends. But I don't always go into people's houses. I do online consultations all over the world. I don't actually
Really?
have to see the baby.
That's fascinating. Well, I mean, brains, you can definitely take advantage of that. That's a winner. Absolutely. You don't have to get up and look pretty for Helen Cummings, the baby expert. You can click right online and work with it. Have you created a book, or are you going to create some sort of
I'm
YouTube
writing
guide
a
or
book.
aid?
Yeah, I'm writing a book at the moment, which will be launching next April. And it's going to be really specifically for first-time parents, giving them the sort of confidence when they're, hopefully they'll read it while they're pregnant. So my feeling is that everybody quite rightly prepares for the birth, you know, for the moment that they have their baby, but they don't always prepare to meet their baby. And that can be quite a shock. After the birth, it can be like, oh, I don't know what to do with this baby. You know, so I think if you can learn in pregnancy and get lots of tips and knowledge, you're so much more confident when your baby arrives. So that's what the book's going to be about. It's going to be about that and baby sleep for the first 3 months.
This is such a nuance because, if I said this to my grandmother, she would say, "Are you kidding me? You go in, you get your hands dirty. It's trial and error. I had nine kids, nine different personalities, nine different births, nine different this, and I made it through." Well, I don't know. Do you think that, and no disrespect to anybody that needs the support and the help, I'm glad they have it. But do you think that we as women are coddled a little too much now? Do you think that this is, we should tough it out a little more? That's hard to say, but what's been your kind of experience?
I think that times have changed since I had, you know, my daughter 40 years ago. I think parents are under more pressure than they've ever been under. A lot of parents having to go back to work quite quickly after they've given birth. So they, you know, and there's not always the family around now to give them a bit of support, you know, the grandmothers, the mothers, you know, that. And if you look at countries where the mother is mothered, there's much less postnatal depression. So I just think times have changed. I think it can be quite difficult to be expected to do everything. And I think that's why if you can get your baby sleeping well, that's at least going to give you some energy to be able to cope. So yeah, I just think things are changed. Times are different now from what they
Have
used to
changed,
be.
and even the relationship and the bonding between children now. I have some very high profile clients here, and not only do the child has one baby, the baby has two nannies. Morning, one in
Exactly.
the evening. Then they have a sleep expert. I'm just trying to figure out the bonding time between the baby and the mother. That's huge because you want them to know your smell, your touch, your feel, your voice. How do you create a balance? You just try to work it out. Again, it depends on what they're doing, how available they are. I mean, we've got these high profile celebrities that are here in the US. I don't know how much they're doing it in the UK, but they are scheduling cesareans so that they can have their baby, so that they can get stitched, get the tummy tuck, and go back to work. But it's the bonding between the child, and nobody knows how long that takes.
No, again, I think it's more to do with personality of the actual parent, though, no matter whatever's happening in their life. I think I've worked for lots of people that are in very prestigious situations and been very, very hands-on and I just think it's down to personality. You know, if you're a person, whether you're famous or not, if that's your nature that you want to be with your baby and spend time, you will make that time, you know, because that's your personality. So I think it's actually down to personality more than anything. No matter what their position is in life or whether they can afford help or not afford help, I think it's more down to actual them as a person.
Now, you're a sleep baby expert,
I
but how
am.
do you work with the parents so that they can get to sleep? Sometimes they can't get back to sleep. They're sleeping with one eye open. They're worried about crib death. They're worried about the next feeding, or They've been up and their body is fully acclimated for the day and they can't calm down. Do you give them recommendations,
I do.
maybe meditations or things like that that they can use?
Yeah, I have done. You know, if I think that one of my parents is not sleeping because they're because anxiety can be a big thing for new parents. And yeah, I've given them meditation. I've even given some of my parents crystals to help them, amethyst crystal to help them sleep. I have it beside their bed. So I've given them that. And just giving them reassurance. Also, sometimes looking at their diet. Yeah, I can see it's a heart too.
Yeah, that's right. And I use it if I need to go to sleep too.
Exactly.
I get
And
it.
actually, even rose quartz, you know, sometimes put rose quartz near your baby's cot. It's like I'm a great believer in the energy of crystal. So yeah, I do encourage if that's what they want, if they're interested in that, then I don't force anything on anybody. But yeah, but meditation, encourage them perhaps to have a bath, not to be on their phone too much, especially during the night when they're getting up to feed their baby. I do encourage them to get out of bed and feed their baby rather than because it's if you're tired, it's not safe to be in your bed feeding your baby. You could fall asleep and your baby could be lying on you, and that is not good, safe sleep for your baby. So I encourage them to get out of bed and try and stay off their phone, even if they want to put
Because
an ear pod in with a meditation or something, but rather than scrolling through their phone, because then it can be hard for them to get back to sleep.
and brains, but you have to understand that blue light is not good for you, and also the electromagnetic energy. I don't care what you say. There is
Exactly.
appointment in your phone. It is collecting data and transmitting data. There is an electromagnetic field. Is that something that you want to introduce your baby to at 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks? You know, it's a lot going on. So you've also had experience working with prisoners. Tell us just a tad bit about that.
So that was many years ago. I'm also a qualified nursery nurse. I don't know what you call that over in the States. But basically trained to be able to work in a nursery, a kindergarten and in schools. So I went to work in a male prison and facilitated the bonding sessions between the prisoner and their it could have been their baby, it could be their niece, it could be a family member, in visiting times, when there was like open prison visiting, we would create a creche for the children. And if the prisoners had good behavior, they were allowed to come and spend time actually playing with their family member. So that was really interesting.
That was pretty interesting. So now let's ask you some fun questions. Helen, if you were not the baby sleep expert, what other career would you choose? What else would you be doing?
Oh, I don't. Do you know? I always wanted to work with babies. So perhaps a midwife delivering the babies.
Oh, that would be sweet. I can see you being a good midwife.
Yeah, I think if I hadn't done this, I would have gone into the medical side of the birth. But I always wanted to work with children and babies, ever from being a really small child. I used to
Well,
go
they say
and knock on
that
my neighbors' doors and ask them if I could play with the
the
babies.
delivery of the birth of the baby is so crucial too. I mean, they have hypnobirthing, they have underwater birthing, they have natural birthing, they have cesareans. So all that can also be an impactor on the child and the mother. So you want to consider that as well. If you were an appliance in the kitchen of all places, what appliance would you be, Helen?
Oh, I think I'd be an appliance that made lovely hot chocolate.
Ooh, that would be good. Maybe
Yeah.
a Keurig or an espresso machine. Would you have the froth and the whipped cream on the
I would have the like a hug in a mug. Like yeah,
top?
the cream and the chocolate and
That'd
yeah,
be good.
that's what I
I'd
would
be
be.
the opposite. I'd be a teapot. I want it hot and steamy. I want to blow off some steam. I think that that would be great. Can you give one or two suggestions to a mother that is struggling right now? She's really at her wit's end and she feels like she's going to pull her hair out. What would you say to her to calm her down, to allow her to give herself time and grace to reset?
First thing I would say to her is reach out to somebody close to you and explain how you're feeling, even a friend, a family member, just to get some breathing space so that if that's at all possible, if they've got any way, just try not to hold it all in, just speak to somebody, anybody. And if you've got no family, speak to your health visitor or doctor. Because generally people do want to help you. If you don't have anybody at all, I think it's just trying to find advice to help you get through what it is that's causing you. Whether you're overwhelmed, whether your baby's upset. It could be that your baby's got something that could be helped, like reflux. A baby with reflux can be really difficult to feed and really difficult to settle. So, if your baby's crying a lot, there's a reason, and it's, go and speak to a medical professional about it and try and get some help, then rather than think, oh, this is normal, this is what babies do. Generally, babies, they cry for a reason. There's a reason if they're upset, and it's finding out, getting help, find out what that reason is.
Inside the pages of your book, are you going to give them like a little guideline or tour as to what these cries are? Because once I figured out the code of crying, it was a lot easier for me to, to figure out what she needed and to prepare myself for that as well.
Exactly, and also using techniques. For example, so I use my proven calm baby sleep approach, which is so gentle, but it's just using things like being able to touch your baby's head, cuddling your baby or putting your baby down and using your hands. So if this baby was in its cot and it was a bit unsettled, just putting your hands and patting your baby or just stroking your baby to get your baby to go to sleep. Having some white noise on, it's just having the calmness because babies feel your energy. So if you're anxious and are like, oh, I can't get you to sleep, and you feel agitated, if you can manage to breathe and calm yourself down and just use calming techniques, then your baby will feel that energy off you, and that will help your baby be more settled.
Okay, that's wonderful. I want to go back to my fun questions. If you were a car, what kind of car would you be, Helen?
Oh, a pink one.
No matter what kind of it would be pink.
I love pink, and I've always said I'm going to get a pink car, and I've not got it yet. So it would be pink and probably quite small and quite fun, I think.
Oh, good. Like a little pink Fiat, maybe, or a
Yeah.
pink Porsche. I could see you doing
Yep.
that. Exactly. If you had three wishes, what would they be? Anything.
Oh my goodness. First thing would be for health for my family. That would be my absolute number one wish. My second wish would be, I think that's connected to my book, is that I really want to be able to share the knowledge that I've got. And I have worked for a lot of wealthy people. I want to get my knowledge out there. It's a bit of a gift to people that couldn't afford somebody to come in like me. And that's my wish. That's my wish for that. And my third wish would be traveling more. I'd like to travel more. So that's like a bit of a selfish wish, but that would be my
Absolutely, that's okay. They're your wishes, and you can absolutely be selfish if you like. I want to ask another question about Reiki. I hear that that is becoming very popular now. How do you feel about intense energy movement like that on young individuals, newborns that have just entered into the world? They've already been through a traumatic portal. Okay, they've come between urine and defecation in a puddle of slime and blood. And then, as soon as they're out, corporal punishment. Somebody thumps your foot or smacks your bottom. That's all trauma. But then, you go into a situation with families that believe and use these kind of modalities and do Reiki. That's a lot of energy going on. What's your thoughts?
So I am a Reiki practitioner, but I haven't done Reiki on babies. At this moment, I don't think there's enough evidence about using Reiki on newborns because they are very pure. You know, they've just arrived into the world. So I'm still learning about the advantages to that. I do think Reiki is amazing. You know, I can do Reiki on myself and I can do Reiki on adults, even on my dog.
Right,
But at the
right.
moment, I don't use it on newborns. But what I do feel with newborns is they feel your energy. So you're not necessarily doing Reiki, but just the feeling of touch and being calm. The most important thing is to be calm around a baby because they pick up on your energy. So with babies, the Reiki part of it, I'm still learning about that. And
Okay.
haven't used it on babies yet, but I do, you know, I use Reiki on myself.
Yeah, I've had some. I remember the first time I had it, and it was like an energy massage with my clothes on. No way.
It's amazing.
I was exhausted afterwards, and
Exactly.
it was really elevating. So again, finding the right people, finding the right recipe for success, working with a trained professional, a baby sleep expert like Helen. She is slicing and dicing this to be able to allow parents that normally couldn't afford, as she said, someone to come in and work with them one-on-one. She's providing you online information. She's going to write a book. And I thank you so much for the dedication because I'll tell you, sleep deprivation with a young baby and parents can really cause a rift. And you have waited all this time to conceive this child, have this child. You want it to be as blissful as possible. Remember that your child's formative years are going to carry through with them for the rest of their life. They will remember this. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Helen.
So if I'm on Instagram, it's Your Baby Sleep Expert, and I'm also on Facebook, and that's Your Baby Sleep Expert.
We're going to put all of your information at the back of the interview. Brains, again, as I said, if you're having problems as a new parent getting sleep or getting that baby to sleep, check in with Helen. She's there for you. Go in and love, like, share, and subscribe. Love, like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. There's all kind of great information. Thank you so much for popping in over the pond to visit with us, Helen. You are the best. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank
Bye-bye.
you, April.